Michigan is bursting at the seams. We're one of the most obese states in the nation, with nearly one-third of Michiganians being classified as obese and a whopping 65% who are considered overweight or obese. And with all that extra fat comes substantial costs to society, from rising health care expenses to lost worker productivity to even lower GPAs among young people. A report released just this week by the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, an independent, nonpartisan research organization that analyzes public policy questions, takes a deeper look at the obesity problem here in Michigan and wades into the delicate debate about how government can tackle the problem while respecting individual choices. Here with us now to break down the report, Nicole Bradshaw. Nicole's a research associate with the CRC. She joins us as part of Current State's regular monthly check-in with the Citizens Research Council to help us understand important public policy issues in Michigan. Welcome, Nicole.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
What sparked this study exactly?
So over the last several years, CRC has been taking a more active role in healthcare policy. And as part of that, we're taking on topics that are important in the state of Michigan. And obviously, as you said, we have a high rate of obesity. So that was certainly part of it. Last summer, we published a paper that looked at 20 or so healthcare cost drivers in the state. And our plan has been to take a deeper dive into several of these issues. So, for example, last fall, we published a paper on the medical costs related to no-fault auto insurance policy. And later this year, we'll be looking at the primary care physician shortage. And right now, we are clearly looking at obesity and the economic costs and policy options related to this condition.
And talk to us about the costs. We alluded to those, and you focused on cost drivers. What are some of the costs that really rise to the top?
So there are things that we think about that make the most sense. I mean, we know that obesity is a very individualized issue, and that individuals who are obese face issues, health issues. They might see higher medical costs related to any medical treatment they may need. And there's also discrimination in the workplace and social settings. But the costs related to these to obesity is much more widespread. So back to healthcare spending or medical spending, how does that impact the entire state? Well, we do know that the average healthcare costs for obese individuals is higher than that for healthy weight individuals and even those who are overweight. And the healthcare costs for the severely obese are twice that than healthy weight individuals.
But what drives those costs?
Oh, well, we looked at almost two dozen drivers, and these include things like the policies in schools, such as a lack of strict curricula around physical education, health education. So, for example, health education, physical education must be taught to all grades, but there's no mandated specifications for how long students might spend in those classes. So really, the things that are driving obesity start in childhood, and things like the classroom. Child care settings as well have limited nutrition standards and almost no physical activity standards, and that impacts a lot of children who have working parents. So even after school, there are situations where there's communities low income and not low income individuals who have low access to fruits and vegetables. We live in communities that don't have sidewalks. We have jobs that don't require any sort of movement, things like that. So it's really factors that are pervasive throughout the entire community and in our daily lives that have been exacerbated in some ways by technology, despite all the benefits those sorts of things have brought about.
And those factors are more noticeable here in Michigan than they are in other states?
Not really, per se. I didn't look at every single thing that was driving obesity in all the other states. What I tried to look at was all the risk factors in Michigan and how they played a role. So there's some things like...
I guess I'm trying to get an idea why Michigan rated so poorly on this score.
And I agree with you, and that's what we were trying to find out. But there's just not really a clear answer for that. It was difficult to surmise. So one thing that was sort of surprising is physical inactivity. So we know that people gain weight by either eating too much or exercising too little or both. So physical activity, the rates of physical inactivity in Michigan are actually kind of low. We have higher rates, a little bit higher rates than average of physical activity than the national average. So does that mean that we're okay there and we just need to focus on how much we eat? Possibly. So physical, but do we not take policy actions around physical activity? Probably we still should look at those sorts of things. So what I really wanted to find was, you know, A, B, and C were the clear drivers of higher obesity rates, and therefore we need to do D, E, and F in order to combat obesity. But it just wasn't a clear-cut issue. But I think your point here is that in order to properly combat this problem, you need to know what's causing it. The solutions need to be relevant to the causes.
Nicole Bradshaw is our guest of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about Michigan's obesity problem and what we might do about it. Clarify briefly, if you could, just so we're on the same page. Obesity is what? Overweight is what? Those are two different designations.
You're right. They're not the same thing, and that can be fairly confusing. Obesity is a condition of having too much body fat. And the way this is typically defined is by someone's body mass index, their BMI, which is how we normally hear it. And the BMI is a calculation of height and weight that tries to estimate someone's body fat. So using this calculation, someone who's overweight would have a BMI between 25 and 29.9. Someone who's obese would have a BMI of 30 or greater. And sometimes what is used is a designation for severely obese, which would be a BMI of 35 or greater. And just for reference, a healthy weight individual, male or female, would have a BMI between 18 and 25. Now, these BMIs really only apply to adults because there's different classifications for children that take into consideration differences in body fat based on different stages of growth in age and gender. So a child would be considered obese if their weight is in the 95th percentile based on their age and their gender.
Now, there's a pretty heated debate over what to do about high obesity rates. This is ongoing. The issue becomes, what role does government play in an issue like obesity that involves so many personal choices? What are the arguments for more government intervention?
So obesity is somewhat unique in that most people are against obesity. It's pretty easy to find a consensus of people who believe that the rates should be lower. So in that sense, everyone's sort of on the same team. But how to go about reducing or preventing obesity is where the debate really arises. On one side, there's groups and policymakers who believe that obesity is a very individual and personalized matter, and that government intervention infringes on the ability that we have as individuals to make personal choices. So, you know, laws might dictate what we can consume. For example, children in schools, nutrition standards, dictating what they can consume, how much they can consume. Some laws limit portion sizes in restaurants. We might be familiar with the law that was that didn't end up going through, but in New York, to try to limit soda sizes that were sold in the city. Laws that try to manage how we spend our leisure time. So these sorts of things infringe on personal choices, and some people just don't want to, you know, spend the money toward this issue when we have such limited government resources. But on the other side, we both sort of mentioned earlier that obesity impacts everybody. The obesity is not just a personalized issue. The costs of obesity are spread throughout all of society and borne by nearly everybody who buys health insurance, people who pay taxes, things like that. So that sometimes is justification for government intervention. And then there's other things like market failures. Children just don't have the ability to properly assess the consequences of their food and activity choices. So a lot of times schools will step in and limit access to low nutritious foods, or force children to engage in or take physical education classes. But I think that people on both sides of this debate agree that policies that create opportunities for people to live healthy lifestyles are a reasonable role for government. So this would be things like increasing the availability of fruit and vegetable access and installing sidewalks in neighborhoods. But regardless of the merits for or against intervention, and just because this is an important public policy issue, the Citizens Research Council really wanted to step in and inform the discussion.
How is the public responding to these prescriptions? Is there a debate going on in the public that you're aware of? And I'm curious, if so, what do you make of it?
So one of the things that I came across were several polls. Specifically, they would look at how people felt about taxes on sodas and junk food. Right now, I'd say that the tide is against taxes on these sort of unhealthy foods and beverages. Polls have shown that. There's been a couple laws in the last 4 years passed, one in Washington and one, I believe, in Maine, that the legislatures passed, and then they were overturned by voters once that taxed sodas. But interestingly, in some of the surveys that I've seen, including one in Michigan, that asked potential voters or registered voters if they would be for something like increased taxes on, or I'm sorry, not increased, we don't have any taxes on sodas, but if they would be willing to support a tax on a soda, a lot of them said no, they wouldn't be. But when asked if they would increase or if they would support a tax on a soda, if the revenues from that tax went toward childhood obesity issues and fighting and preventing that, then they were more likely to agree with it.
Oh, interesting. Well, going forward, what has to change then for us to improve the? Do we need to employ some of these governmental interventions? And where is this debate going, do you think?
So one of the interesting things that we found is that Michigan actually has a number of key policies in place that address obesity. So our obesity rate's high, but it's not for a lack of effort on the state or local or school level. All of these levels of government and policymakers have been making efforts over the last several decades in obesity. But one of the things that we point out in our paper is that, for example, many of the state-level policies are voluntary in nature. They are recommendations rather than requirements. So, for example, there's a state law that requires that all schools provide health and physical education to students. But it doesn't provide any further guidance on what that should be. So, for example, there are federal recommendations that say that students should spend at least 150 minutes in PE for elementary, and then middle and high school students should spend 225 minutes per week in physical education, and that at least half that time in class should be spent actually in vigorous or moderate intensity exercise. Michigan, many states do have laws that specify, make these exact specifications, or for example, require recess. Michigan's Board of Education and the Department of Education recommend all these things, but there are no such requirements.
Nicole Bradshaw is a research associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, an independent, nonpartisan research organization that analyzes public policy questions. We check in with the CRC on the second Thursday of each month to help us better understand important public policy issues here in Michigan on Current State. Thanks, Nicole, for joining us
today.
Yes,
thank you for having me, Mark.